Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. It's a story about life itself, tragedy, hope, kindness, friendships, and most of all, love. The Madness of March, a love story from Marguerite Nardone-Gruen. Paul Tanner and Nicky Newman were two of the most highly recruited point guards in the country for Division II basketball. New coach at the U, Bob Barrows, built his entire program around them. And everything was going fine. The team was on track to become one of the greatest ever in the region until Paul let the fame and the attention go to his head. Marguerite is an avid sports fan, football, basketball, especially March Madness. She grew up in northern Pennsylvania, where she still lives. The author of the band for The Air We Breathe, that's a trilogy. Also Ed for Love and Hope, Book 2. And The Madness of March, a love story that we'll talk about on today's program. Marguerite Nardone-Gruen joining us on This Week in America. Marguerite, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you, and thank you for inviting me.
It is our pleasure, and I'm really looking forward to having a chance to talking about the book, The Madness of March, a love story. First of all, where did the idea come from? How did you decide this is a good story and I'm going to write it?
Well, after I wrote my first trilogy, I thought it was going to be over. I thought it was done because I hadn't had any thoughts about anything. And then I love college basketball so much. And my husband and I were looking at the schedule for March, for March Madness and the playoffs. And the light bulb just came on. And I said to him, remember when we used to go to the University of Scranton basketball games back in the 70s, late 70s and 80s? They were just crazy. And I brought that up to him, and I thought, oh, my God, there's my next story. But they were crazy. Those games were so wild. The electricity in the gym was amazing. And sometimes you couldn't even get tickets to the games. That's how crazy they were. So then I thought, this is going to be my next story. I'm going to write about a star point guard on the team and kind of make up the fictional story after that. You know, that's what happened.
That's amazing because I understand.
It didn't take me long. Yeah.
Well, yeah. How long did it take to write this? It sounds like you could sit at the typewriter and you could write it in a couple of hours with your enthusiasm for the story.
Well, I'll tell you. I shocked, you know, myself. I think I wrote it in 3 months. I wrote it in
wow.
the story's been written for 2 years, and I've you keep going back. I think when you're a writer, you write the initial story, and then you go back and back and back so many times, add things, delete things, and it's been finished for about a year now.
That's amazing. And the book we're talking about, The Madness of March, a Love Story by Marguerite Nardone-Gruen, available at Amazon, the usual places. If you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you can link on directly to get information on Marguerite's book. Once you decided to write the book and you wrote it, how did you go about finding a publisher? I mentioned before that you have several other books out there that we'll talk about. Did you go back to that publisher, or how do you find a publisher, especially for a book a little bit different than what you had written before?
Right, right. So Alpha Books Solutions called me they want to take my first two books from the Band 4 trilogy to the Frankfurt International Book Fair. And that's in Germany, of course. And while I was talking to them, I said, I have another book that isn't even written yet. And they said, well, we're a publisher also. We could do that for you. And that's what happened. They found me. And I was just
That's
so happy.
Amazing.
I was so pleased with them in the first place because they really helped me a lot. And they seemed like they wanted to help me market the first batch of books. And then when I told them I had another book to do, we started the ball rolling, and I was very pleased with the way everything went. That only took about 3 months to get it out there from when I submitted the manuscript.
That's amazing how quickly this process worked for you in writing the book, The Madness of March, a Love Story. Let's talk about what happens when the book is published. That's really not the end of the job, is it? You've got it out there. Now you need to talk about it and get people interested in the storyline and in buying and enjoying the book.
Right. And unless you have tons of money, it's very difficult to get it out there. I think that's the biggest challenge we all have, all indie writers. I think that it might be, you know, even for people who self-publish on Amazon, the cost it doesn't have to be that much, but it's getting it out there. And because you're an indie writer, you have to do all that yourself. So that's what's tough about it. Now, I think as soon as as soon as I'm done with the Frankfurt Book Fair, I'm going to really concentrate on doing more book signings and maybe take an ad out in the local paper because, you know, the university around here did inspire the story. So I would like to advertise there, and maybe everybody that did go to those games along with myself will remember that and want to try and get the book.
It sounds like a special atmosphere there. And I believe, didn't they win a couple of championships, national championships during that time period?
Two national championships, and I got to see them both. So that was very, very entertaining. And another thing that happened during one of the games was, which was also exciting, I was happy I was there for, was back in 80 when the Olympics were going on in Lake Placid. The announcer stopped the whole basketball game and announced that the United States had beat Russia in hockey.
Oh, yes.
And the place went ballistic. It went totally ballistic. People were chanting, USA, USA, USA. And to be a part of that, and it gave me the chills right now, just remembering that time and what happened. And I don't even know how those guys even continued with playing after that, because everybody was just so crazy and wild.
What an exciting time. Our guest on the program is Marguerite Nardone-Gruen. The book is The Madness of March, A Love Story. I'd like to talk a little bit about developing the storyline for this. You've got not one, but two point guards, and things are starting out very well, but things go crazy. One of the point guards, as I mentioned, gets a little carried away with the publicity. It goes to his head. Talk about developing the storyline and having the two point guards and then having this conflict.
Well, there really is only one point guard on a team. There's a point guard and a shooter. But I made them that they were both point guards. They were both best friends. They got to be best friends, and they roomed with each other. And the one went down the wrong path. He just got involved with the wrong people. He let the fame go to his head, and he did a lot of crazy things and upsetting things when he was in the state that he was in. So that basically is the first kind of message in the book. You know, I don't know how to say more than your past always follows you.
Yes.
So watch what you do. Watch what you do, even when you're young. I know young people don't want to hear that, but his past always followed him all throughout his whole life, even when he got older. He could never shake the terrible mistakes. They called them mistakes, him and his wife, the terrible, terrible mistakes he made when he was in the state he was in. So you just have to be careful when you're young, and even when you're old. I mean, think about what you're doing before you do it, because something or somebody will always bring it back up to you.
And sometimes when you have children, you see the mistakes mirrored in them as well. I don't want to give too much away in the book here, but it's a great story. What is the main message that you'd like people to take away from in reading the book, The Madness of March?
Well, I think the main message is just to be careful. Like I said, be careful with what you do because your past always comes back to haunt you. And also that love, once you have love in your life, it could help you. It helps you with your life. It makes your life easy. You always need a companion. You need that love between your family, between your wife and your children. And I think the message is just to be careful with your choices in life. And make sure you choose someone who is the love of your life to help you get through your life.
You're a sports fan and a talented author. I mentioned the other books that you had written, and we'll talk about those here in a second. Tell me a little more about yourself, something interesting about yourself that maybe even the people who read your books don't know about you yet.
Well, I think the most important, one big thing is it was never my aspiration to be a writer. When I was 62, and I'm giving away my age now, when I was 62, I had a dream one night, and I couldn't stop thinking about the dream for weeks later. This couple was on my mind for like weeks at a time. So I thought, I'm just going to sit down and write out the dream. And not only did I write the dream out, but 300 pages later, I had a manuscript. I found that my brain almost just exploded, and I couldn't stop typing away. And the only reason I would stop at night would be because my wrist would be burning from typing so much. I had to actually take that break and go to bed.
Oh,
it would
geez.
Be 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning. And my neighbors would even say, why is your office light on? You know, so it's 1 and 2 in the morning. I hope you're not working. And then I had to tell them, well, no, I'm thinking about writing a book. I'm writing a story. And they were crazy when they found out. So then I did write the book. My sister told me that if I didn't do something with it, I would always wonder what if. And that's the best advice anybody could give anyone. If you think you're going to do something, just do it, because you'll always wonder what if you didn't do it. And I did find a publisher. I published it, and that's me. That's what happened. The only reason I continued the story, I thought it was going to be one and done. And I continued the story because so many people asked me to continue the story about this couple, Mam and Chase. They loved them so much, they didn't want me to stop. They wanted to know more about them. They wanted me to continue writing about them. So that's the only reason I continued the story. And now it's a trilogy, just like that. It happened.
And the new Mam and Chase Forgotten Stories Book 3, I understand, will be coming out very soon.
Yes, I'm hoping by December, because a lot of people are asking for it, and I know they probably would like it for the holiday and as for gifts. So I'm hoping by December, and I did talk to this publisher, and they're pretty confident that we could get that out by December too.
You know, it's interesting. You talk about gift giving. The book we're talking about specifically, The Madness of March, A Love Story by Marguerite Nardone-Gruen, mm-hmm. our guest on the program. If you're a sports fan, it's a good book. It gives you a little insight into the people that actually play the sport. If you're a fan, you watch them on television, you cheer for them in the gymnasium. And I guess we don't really think a whole lot about their lives are just as complicated as ours, aren't they? I mean, they all have relationships. They're all dealing with struggles just like everybody else.
Exactly. There's a lot of pressure on young on team players, because they really can't get in trouble. Like, they're always worried, especially people with players with scholarships are always worried.
Yes.
Am I going to lose my scholarship? I'm not going to do something that's going to jeopardize this for me. Some of them can't even go to school without that scholarship. So it's always a struggle for them. But I think it's a struggle for all young people these days. You know, I don't think it's just for them,
yes.
although it might be a little heightened. I just think for all young people, it's a struggle.
And the book's a love story, as I mentioned. It's a story about friendships. Mm-hmm. It's really an entertaining read, The Madness of March, A Love Story. Mentioned that Mam and Chase should be out sometime in December, in time for gift giving at the holiday. What other projects are you working on? It sounds like you're so passionate in writing. I'm sure you've got something else you're working on. That will keep the neighbors wondering why at 1 o'clock at night the office light is still on in your home.
Yes, exactly. I do have two other thoughts. And, you know, I write best when I'm laying in bed in the morning. I get up very early, like 4 or 5 o'clock. And sometimes I could write a whole chapter in my mind while I'm just laying there. And then I have to
yes.
hurry up and get up and start writing myself notes so I don't forget what I thought about. But I do have two other projects in mind, which they're just new in my mind. So I don't really want to say what they are, but I do have two other ideas on my mind right now. And I'm going to start that as soon as I can get over this, I think the end of the year. And then next year, I'm going to dedicate myself, because I retired in May. So I'm going to dedicate myself to starting those projects. I've been thinking about it now for months.
Well, fantastic. And we'll have to stay in touch and find out what you're working on. And by the way, if you live in Marguerite's neighborhood and you see the office light on like 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, take a plate of cookies or something. She's working. Just go over and encourage her, a little milk, cookies to keep her going throughout the night. And that's interesting, because I've often wondered with writers, once you get these ideas, to me, it wouldn't be just as simple as, okay, like a light switch. I'm going to turn it off, go to bed and not worry about it, or go on with real life. It sounds like when these characters are playing in your head, you really need to follow them through and write down what you're thinking, don't you?
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And that's why you don't sleep, because you can't stop thinking about it, you know, and then you're worried. If I don't get up and do something or write myself a note, I'm going to forget this great idea I just had or something like that. But they're always on your mind. And even though the trilogy, my first trilogy, is over, I still think about that couple. I still think, well, maybe I could have done this or that, or, but that's it for them. I mean, I don't think I could take them any farther. But I think your books are still on your mind. They're always on your mind.
How about the book, the Madness of March, a love story, written by our guest Marguerite Nardone-Gruen? Anybody in particular you dedicate the book to, or would like to dedicate the book to?
Well, sadly, my mom just passed away.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yes, thank you. And it was very, very sudden. So I think I would really like to dedicate the book to her, because she was a wonderful person. She really was. She never hurt a fly, and she loved everybody and accepted everybody, no matter who you ever brought home, our friends or anyone. You know, she was always kind and loving, and it's difficult for us all to get over her passing right now. But I think that one way I can do that is to dedicate my books to her.
And I'm sure she was quite proud of what you've done with all of your books, in particular the new book, The Madness of March, that we're talking about. A family affair as well. I understand your nephew and godson wrote the prologue for the book, and he's an actual college basketball writer.
Yes, he blew me away. I was done with it, and then I thought, I could ask Joseph to write a prologue for me, because he writes for, he covers college hoops for Forbes magazine online. And BBC Today. So I called him up. 20 minutes later, he sent me the prologue. And all I did was give him three names. I gave him the name of names of Paul and Nikki and the coach. And I said, you know, he knew it was about a basketball player that went down the wrong path. And I told him he could make up whatever he wants. And he wrote the whole thing. He made up the schools they came from, and about the coach and the boosters. And he just blew me right away. I was so proud of him, first of all. And I was so happy, because I absolutely love it. And I've read that prologue so much, because I love what he wrote for me. And I'm just so happy about it.
A couple minutes left in the program. As a college basketball fan, and I've been for decades as well, what do you think of college basketball now? And I ask that with all of the money that's out there. Should the players be getting compensated? Should they be compensated for their likeness? You've got teams that you follow, and you lose two or three players, if they're good, every couple of years, underclassmen that go to the NBA. What's your thought on college basketball now? Is it as entertaining for you as it used to be back in the 70s and 80s when you were following the University of Scranton?
Well, yes, I think it is. I think it's still entertaining. The sad part is there's no loyalty there, because of the fact that the NBA is right there waving lots of dollar signs in front of these young 18-year-old people, players. I mean, who would – you'd have to be insane not to to turn that down.
Yes.
So, for one, that's that's what I think about that. But while I understand that, you know, you would be crazy to turn down millions and millions of dollars, there just seems to be no loyalty to the teams out there anymore. And the second thing is, some of those players, I mean, they're so poor that their families can't even come to see them play.
Yes.
So and they're from different countries also. Now I find that the colleges are going outside the United States. There, you know, there's a lot of players that are from different countries, which is fine, but they have no support here. Their families can't afford to come here to see them play. So I think those are two important things about college basketball right now. One, that the players, they don't get any money. Their names are used for promotion and things like that, but they get no money from it. And the second thing is, you have the NBA waving millions of dollars
millions
in front of their
and
faces.
Millions of dollars. And you go to college. You go there and you're thinking, I'm going to go to college and learn something so that I can be productive for the rest of my life. And if it happens to be dribbling a basketball and I'm making millions of dollars, well, I guess mission accomplished. I mean, you can see all sides of the issue as you're looking at that. A minute or so here, the Madness of March, a love story. How much fun has this been for you to actually conceive the story, develop these characters that are very well-rounded characters, by the way, and these are characters we can all relate to because they're not perfect. These are real people in this world that you've created. What has this experience been like for you?
It was a lot of fun, and I really enjoyed it. I I even love reading the book over and over again. I could probably recite it to you, because when you're editing the book, you read it over like five times to make sure before it goes into print, you know. But I love the book. I love the story. I love the characters. Just like my first books, I'm in love with the characters, and it was fun. The only hard part of it is to get everybody else to think that the book is as good as I think.
Well, once they pick it up and start reading it, they're not going to be able to put it down. They're going to go, you know, Margarita's right. She's really got something here. This is a great story. The book is The Madness of March, A Love Story. Marguerite Nardone-Gruen is the author and our guest on the program. Book is available at the usual places for books. You can go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, link on directly to get information on Marguerite's book. Marguerite, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. Love what you're doing with your books, and particularly this great story you're telling in The Madness of March. Looking forward to more. So keep the midnight lights burning, and we'll stay in touch and love to talk about the next project. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you for having me. I so appreciate it.
It is our pleasure. Our guest, Marguerite Nardone-Gruen, author of The Madness of March, A Love Story. Information available on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.